God's word for you is 2 Chronicles 34, 8-13. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, in order to purify the land and the house of the Lord, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the administrator of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. They came to Hilkiah the high priest and delivered the money that had been brought into the house of God, which the Levites, the keepers of the threshold, had collected from Manasseh and Ephraim and from all the remnant of Israel and from all Judah and Benjamin and from the people who lived in Jerusalem. They delivered it to the workmen who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and the workmen who were working in the house of the Lord gave it for repairing and restoring the house. They gave it to the carpenters and the builders to buy quarried stone and timber for joists and beams for the building which the kings of Judah had let go to ruin. The men did the work faithfully. Over them were set Jahath and Obadiah, Levites who were descended from Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam, descendants of the Kohathites, to have oversight. These Levites were all skillful with musical instruments. They were in charge of the men carrying material and over all who did the work in every kind of service. Some of the Levites also served as scribes and officials and gatekeepers. Josiah's 18th year on the throne was when he was 26. The purge of idols throughout Judah and what was once Israel, Ephraim, Manasseh, and as far as Naphtali, had begun 6 years before, and now he turned his full attention to the temple, the house of the Lord. The temple had been in disrepair for 75 years. That is the 55 years of Manasseh's reign, with very little repair work following his repentance before his death, the 2 years of Josiah's father Amon's reign, and then Josiah's young years up until this time. Repairs take more than orders. Repairs cost money. In a committee of three men, Shaphan, the royal secretary, Maaseiah, the city administrator of Jerusalem, and Joah, the recorder or records keeper, were placed in charge of the repairs. They distributed gifts that came from Israel and from Judah to the high priest. And the high priest made sure that the money, really valuable gifts of silver and other precious things that could be exchanged for goods and services, since coins and our idea of money did not yet exist, that was used the way the king intended. The idea of a committee of three is an excellent pattern. A two-person committee can easily be overwhelmed with too much work, and a committee of more than four or five can contain members without much to do. But when there are three, the work seemed more balanced, something for modern churches to consider. To keep the flow of this money under control, the distribution pattern resembles the flow of an hourglass, that wealth came in from the top, was accounted for by this oversight committee, and then passed through the hands of one very responsible man, the high priest. And from him it flowed down to everyone who needed it, first to a group of overseeing officers, and then to the workmen and buyers who were accomplishing the labor. This helped things from getting out of control. The distribution, therefore, had oversight and a built-in system of checks and balances. The workmen used what they needed. The carpenters and stone cutters and other builders had what they needed. There were four supervisors or overseers, two Levites from the family of Kohath and two from Merari. We notice in passing that the other family of Levites, the Gershonites, had previously been in charge of the treasury in the days of Hezekiah, Josiah's great-grandfather. But after Hezekiah's reign, there is not one single mention of the Gershonite clan in Scripture. That ended 1 Chronicles 26:24, 29:8, and then 29:12, and now we're in chapter 34. This doesn't mean that there had been some scandal among the Gershonites. There are descendants of Merari in the list of returning exiles in Ezra 8, but not from the other families. The family distinctions of the priestly divisions seem to have softened somewhat before and certainly after the Babylonian exile. More we cannot say. Verse 12 has an unusual comment that the Levites, who were supervisors, were also good musicians. When David assigned the Levites to the temple, he gave them different roles, including administration, but music for worship was always foremost. In my own congregation, some of our strongest lay leaders are also worship musicians. Thinking about you, Bob. In his own church, my brother and his whole family fill that role. Music and worship helps us to understand the lessons, but when it does not, then the musical piece should be dropped and replaced, because, catchy tune or not, it does not help the people to understand the word, which is the main thing. So when a song, hymn, or chant stays with the people and helps us to keep in mind the truths of Scripture, then they serve an excellent purpose. They become a work of art, a painting, a stained glass window, a sculpture that we have with us at all times. The Holy Spirit preaches the law to us in this passage when he displays the eagerness, even of the remnant in the north, to bring offerings and contributions to the house of the Lord. And we all know that in all churches, whether in our fellowship or not, that about 20% of the people give about 80% of the offerings, and that the teachers and ministers are often the more faithful and generous givers. Any passage like this one that challenges my own private giving to the Lord reminds me that the work needs to continue, and that, you know, my grandparents, who were such faithful givers, are in heaven. The service and the privilege has been handed down to us today. Let us give joyfully and faithfully. The Holy Spirit preaches the gospel to us by the message of the restoration of the house of the Lord God, which is at the same time an echo of Amos's words, "In that day I will restore David's fallen tent," Amos 9:11, but also a reminder that those words were truly fulfilled in Christ and the gathering of all races into the true Israel of God, as James preached in the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15. For Christ himself is the fallen tent of David, raised up and restoring the people of God into the holy nation, the family set into the garden of paradise, to live with the Lord our God forever in heaven through his merits and holiness. He has brought us into the true temple, the permanent tent, the wedding banquet of the Son of Man and his holy church forever. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.